my wife Terry Lynn up front, and my son Keaton from St. Mary's, West Virginia. And we had a nice, beautiful drive this morning, just admiring God's creation, the changing of the seasons, the colors of creation, the beauty of God's handiwork. Amen? Amen. So we're thankful for the opportunity to be here together and just to settle in. How many of you need to settle in and slow down? Anybody? All right. So allow yourself to do that this morning, to settle in and slow down and just enjoy this time together to consider a message from God's Word and how that applies to us and our everyday lives. I'm inspired today by the Holy Spirit to just say another word of encouragement about the beauty of baptism. You know, we make that step where we begin to understand and believe the things of God and the teachings of God, and certainly that's the first step that we take. Then the Word of God tells us that it will speak to our hearts, and so what we hear, the message of God, and we read the Word of God, and it touches our hearts, and it asks us to respond, and so the first response that we make is to believe the Word of God, and to believe in Jesus and who He said He was, and that He's the source of salvation and forgiveness in our lives. And when we do that, we're told to make that great confession. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He came from God, that He died and made that sacrificial death on the cross for me and my sin, that I cannot possibly forgive myself and atone for all the sins that I've ever committed in my life. No one can ever do that. And so when we believe that, we make that confession and we receive in our hearts and our lives Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But after we do that, the Bible also teaches us that we need to be baptized and the importance of it and the beauty of it and what that does. Just before I got up here this morning, I looked in the back of my study Bible, and all the many, many verses that you can read for yourself about baptism, and I encourage you to do that, to enter into a study of that. And if you haven't done that and made that decision to do that for yourself and your family and your faith, and the fact that it brings you into fellowship with His church. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning in today's message, is what church people do when you become a part of His church and the family of God. What church people do is that we fellowship and function as family. So today's message is that. What church people do, we fellowship and we function as a family. We fellowship together and we function as a family. If you have your Bibles, or you can pull that up on your phone this morning, let's turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. A story in Luke chapter 14, it starts in verse 15. Luke chapter 14, it starts in verse 15 and goes through verse 24. So Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 15 through verse 24. It's described in this part of the Gospel of Luke as the parable of the great banquet feast. The parable of the great banquet feast. And the closest thing I can think of that's the equivalent of this in our culture would be if someone is having a wedding reception, and all the work that goes into that, and the reception for the couple, and all of the time and the money that is often spent on a great feast, where afterwards we're celebrating the couple and sharing in their excitement and their joy, or Thanksgiving in our country, Thanksgiving meal, where people put a lot of time and effort into possibly creating and making one of the best meals of the year that you would ever have, where you celebrate and you're thankful for many things, your family, your friends, and of course, the food. And this story with great meaning is about the importance of fellowship. And as I read this story today, I want you to think about the role of God the Father calling people into fellowship with Him. The role of God the Father calling people into fellowship with Him. That's the real meaning of this story. And the person that was telling this story, and the words of this story, in my Bible, it's in red. And what do you know about words in red in a lot of Bibles? The words in red were spoken by who? By Jesus Christ Himself. And so the real point of this story is that God the Father is calling people into fellowship with Him, and Jesus Christ Himself is telling this story that we see in Luke chapter 14. So let's start in verse 15. We'll go through verse 24 in our reading today. The parable of the great banquet feast. When one of those at the table with him heard these things, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus replied with these words in this story, starting in verse 16. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." And so the preparations had been made, everything was ready, and now it's time for the invitations to go out. Okay? So again, the invitations for the great feast. Then in verse 18, "But they all alike..." I'm reading from the NIV here. "But they all alike began to make what? What? Excuses. They all alike began to make excuses. And the first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go now and see to it. Please excuse me.' Then in verse 20, still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' Verse 21, the servant came back and reported these things to his master, and then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and into the alleys of the towns and bring in the poor and bring in the crippled and bring in the blind and bring in the lame.'" Now, before we go any further in this story, that is quite significant because in this day and time, as I illustrated with the young people on the stage this morning, and sometimes even in our culture, there was a lot of separation. You see, those that were misfortunate, those that didn't have what others have, they would have never been what? Invited to this kind of feast in the first place. They were maligned. They were mistreated. They were separated. You don't belong here. You don't get the invitation. Those that were invited took it for granted and had their many what? Why they couldn't come? Excuses. And so the master said, "Okay, well, if they're not going to come, go out and invite those that are poor, those that are crippled and blind and lame." And those people, they were left to fend for themselves in that day and time in that culture. "Oh, you're poor, you're lame, you're crippled, you're blind. Sorry about your luck. You know, go and take care of yourselves." And so they were separated, they were maligned, they were mistreated, and they certainly were not invited. And now they are being invited. Then verse 22, "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there yet is still more room." Then in verse 23, "Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and out to the country lanes there's a lot of those around here and make them come in so that my house will be what? Filled." There's a lot of room in here. A lot of invitations that could go out, but some will make excuses and some will say no. The desire of the master is that my house will be full. Verse 24, "I tell you, not one of these men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." So who told this story? Jesus himself. He told this story, and he told this story to represent our faithful and our forever Father in heaven who invites everyone into fellowship with him. Invites everyone into fellowship with him. It is quite the opposite of what they saw in their day and time. It is quite the opposite of what we see in our culture today, where we have barriers to fellowship, as I illustrated with the young people this morning. And sometimes, frankly, children do a better job with that than adults. You see, children and how they play and how they interact with one another, oftentimes they're not thinking about the color of someone's skin or someone's economic background or all of that sort of thing. And it's a beautiful thing, and that's how it should be in the Lord's church. Amen? The fellowship of God the Father has been extended to all people of all backgrounds to come into fellowship with Him. The feast has been prepared. He wants His house to be full, but yet many will reject that call and many will make excuses. We live in a day and time where people seem to have time and for everything else and accept invitations to do everything else. Amen? I mean, how many invitations do you get to do all kinds of different things? Hey, can you be a part of this? Can you do this? Can you come to this? Can you fit this into your schedule on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday? Can you be a part of this organization or this thing or do this or do that? Constantly invitations going out to be a part of everything else with everybody else. But when it comes to being with the church and the family of God, we get a lot of excuses and we see, unfortunately, a lot of rejections. It's not that people don't have time. It's not that oftentimes, and it's not a problem here, I want to compliment you all. It's not that you don't make the effort and let people know that they are what? Welcome. We need to do that. We need to make the effort and give the invitation, let people know that they're welcome. But ultimately, with their free will, it is their decision to say yes or no to the fellowship that comes from the Father. So let's read further about this in Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bibles or on your phone, the beauty of what this looks like. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. Church people, or the church, we have fellowship as the family of God. We have fellowship as the family of God. And before I read this, when I was a college student, I went to college for about a year and a half on the West Coast. My family's from Tennessee, so it's completely opposite culture, had no family, nothing of that sort. And it was a Christian college, and what they advocated for, and the students had to make this choice, but they said, if you will place yourself in fellowship with a local church while you were here, there are a lot of churches close by that will welcome you into their fellowship. And then this particular church had families that would essentially adopt college students. And so I remember one year being that far away from home that they had Thanksgiving break. It's usually about a week. And I remember, just like it was yesterday, this family inviting me into their home for their Thanksgiving fellowship dinner. And it was a little difficult. By then I'd got to know them a little bit. They would let me come and hang out at their home and get to know their family. But still, you know, even after the invite, you're coming into their Thanksgiving with their family and they're telling all their stories and all the things about their family. And you're coming in, and so they let you know you're welcome. They prepared the meal. You accept the invitation and you come. But still, there's a lot of things that they're saying that I did not necessarily know about because I had not previously been a part of their what? Family. Now, I tell you that to tell you this. That's how it is when people come into the church. Does that make sense? Amen. There's a lot of steps here. We give the invitation. We welcome. We prepare ourselves to receive people. But even when they come in, there's a lot of things that have to take place for them to feel welcome and for them to continue to be in fellowship with fellow believers. We have to receive people, make them feel welcome. We have to make sure that if we are talking about things that they do not understand or they do not know, that we're willing to teach them. and love them and receive them and help them to the point that they begin to feel like what? Family. Amen. That's a process, and it takes time. I will say, before I left that school and went back to Tennessee, that I felt like I was a part of their what? Their family. Because they were intentional about it, and they made every effort to do so. And so here's what the church did, the early church in Acts chapter 2. They took this seriously, and they began to fellowship as the family of God. Here's what they did. Acts chapter 2, start in verse 42 through verse 47. Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So they had fellowship with one another, and they prayed together and they ate together. In verse 43, and all came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. Verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now what that verse really means in verse 44 is that they focused on what they had in common. That's what it really translates to in the English language. It says they believed and they held together and focused on what they had in common. What they had in common was Jesus Christ. What they had in common was their beliefs. Certainly they didn't have in common all their different backgrounds, because they're coming from all different backgrounds and all different places. And that's the beauty of the church still today, is the family of God, is that we can come from different backgrounds and different places and still have fellowship and focus on what we have in common in Christ, our beliefs, holding them together. Verse 45, and they were willing to sell their possessions and belongings and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. That was part of their fellowship. You have a need, see the need, meet the need. Amen? See the need, meet the need. And that's the beauty of the church, and you have that set up here. And it's a beautiful thing. That is what we're called to do as the church. Is if you see a need and you can meet the need, you do it however you can do it to help those in need when they come into fellowship with the church. Verse 46, and day by day they began to meet out in the temple courts and break bread in their homes and receive their food with gladness and sincere and generous hearts. And the joke that I make there in verse 46 is they loved each other so much that they didn't even mind being seen out in public together. Amen? It's not this thing where, we can be together on Sundays, but during the week, don't call me. During the week, you can't come around me during the week. Out in the temple courts means they were out in public together, showing the world the unity that they had in Christ, showing the world that we are the church together, showing the world that we have fellowship with one another, no matter who we are, no matter what our background is, in Christ alone we come together, and that is opposite of what we see in the world. Amen? They loved each other. Kind of a modern example of that would be, they run into each other in the store. And then, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Oh, man, hey, it's been a while. Next thing you know, they're over having a conversation on aisle number 3 over here, catching up with one of their people going down there looking for whatever they're looking on the aisles, and they're like, who are these people? Or in a restaurant, or when you're out in public and you see someone that you have fellowship with in Christ, be glad to see them. Show them the love of Christ, and maybe somebody will see that and say, that's different. It is different, and it is effective. And then in verse 47, it says they praised God and began to have favor with all the people. I wonder why. Because it's very attractive when the church operates this way, how we're supposed to be. There's a lot of people that don't have that. There's a lot of people that don't know how bad they need it. They don't have it. They're living lives of loneliness and rejection and separation and division and discrimination and all of that sort of thing. They're facing that in their everyday life, and we need to show them a better way. And we can do that because because it's attractive. It gains favor with the people when the church does this. And the Lord began to add to their number daily those who were what? Being saved. Sometimes, and I understand this too, sometimes we can look around and we can get discouraged and say, oh, I wish that he or she would accept my invitation to come and be with the church. Or I wish he or she would accept the invitation to even come into my home. Or I wish he or she would accept the invitation to have a meal with me. Or any of that nature. Keep in mind, you keep doing it. You keep asking. You keep inviting. You keep keeping your heart open to be ready to receive people, because one day they may say yes, and if they continue to say no, that's their free will. Amen? We all have free will. We all can say no. How many of you here today rejected God for a period in your life? Yeah, one honest brother. I mean, we all reject God. No, I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with that. No, 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 no. To the things of God and the fellowship with His church, but they say yes, yes, yes to everything else. People will do that. They'll continue to do that. That is one of the saddest things I see in my own community. I'm really blessed right now. I've been helping out with some of the local schools, and I go into the schools and I see these young people that are starving for attention, starving for affection, starving for someone in their life to show them something different than what they're seeing every day. And I talk to the educators and they'll say, oh, he or she, you know, they have a difficult life at home. They don't have to tell me that, because it's painfully what? Obvious through their actions. And then we got families that they got time for every single thing else on the calendar. Every single thing. But they don't have time for God, and they don't have time for fellowship with the church. What I'm trying to say is it's a choice that people make. And oftentimes the answer will be no. But there is a consequence for saying no. There is a consequence for continuing to reject the call of God. A man named Todd Llewellyn wrote this about Christian fellowship in the church. Here's what he said. It's real profound. He said, God never intended for His people to be separate. To be separate and apart from. In the very beginning, God said, it is not good for man to be what? Alone. And that has not changed. It is even more important today for the followers of Jesus Christ to make it a habit and make it a part of their lives to come together with other believers. Terms such as family and together and fellowship are all important teachings in the New Testament for us to gather together and to encourage one another. He says, I believe that our enemy, Satan, has stepped into this world to promote separation and making efforts to keep the family of God separate and lull us into believing that we can grow strong while staying separate. Amen. We're in 2022. What did the last 2 years teach us? When we had to sit at home and we couldn't be with certain people. I don't know about you, but my wife and I, we like being around people. And being around people is a blessing. Do you know what they do even in prisons when they want to punish you? They put you into what? Isolation. It's a punishment. Isolation is a punishment. And there are people that choose to isolate themselves, but God never intended for us to isolate ourselves. So isn't it a beautiful thing today to be together with people who are here simply because they love God and they want to encourage you in your daily walk with Christ? Amen? That's one of the main reasons why we gather, to remind ourselves of who we are and what our purpose is. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we have it all together. It certainly doesn't mean that we're better than somebody else. Amen? I mean, sometimes it's a victory just to walk through that door for some people. Count it as a victory and a blessing to have fellowship with the family of God. It makes us stronger. It provides encouragement It shows us that we're not alone. It helps us to grow in our faith. And fellowship is truly what church people do, and it allows us to function as family. One of the frustrations that I read about and I talk with certain people about is that the larger a church body gets, okay, it's called the blessing of being smaller. It's actually some articles that have been written about it, is that the larger a church body gets, some people can feel like they're falling through the cracks, right? And so we want to be intentional. We want to make sure that each one connects with someone else. Amen? So each one connects with someone else. That means everyone connects with someone else to form that fellowship in the church. It doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean you're going to know everybody and everything about their life and everything they got going on in their life. But somebody should always be willing to be there for somebody else. Amen? What does that involve? What does that look like? Well, the Bible says that we've got to step outside of ourselves. We've got to consider others above ourselves. It's kind of like saying, well, I don't feel like being with the church today. I don't really feel like being with the church today, but somebody else there needs to see my face. Somebody else there needs me to be there for them. Amen? When you have times in your life where you don't feel like it, think about the big picture. Think about the big body. Think about the church as a whole. If you walk through those doors, you're going to be a blessing to someone else, and someone else will be a blessing to you, even if it's just one person. Do you believe that? Amen? And so that fellowship is so important. God has told us that if we respond to that invitation, He will bless us. He will fill us up in every way. And His house will be full of people who love Him. You need it, I need it, and God knows it. You need it, I need it, and God knows it. And so how will we show it? A lot of people say with their mouth that they want to be a part of the church or be a part of fellowship with the church or be a part of this and be a part of that. It's kind of like, let me give you an example as I close. Those of you that have jobs, can you just say I'll do the job and say I'll show up with your job that you have? What's the answer? No. You can't just say it and say, you can't just say it, oh, I have a desire to be there. I have a desire to do the job. You can't just say it. You got to show it. How do you show it? You show up to work and you do the job. So we understand that with our job culture, and yet we have people that misunderstand that with the church. It's the same thing with the church. We can say we love the Lord. We can say we want to be with the church. We can say we want to have fellowship, but we've got to show it. Amen? And the way that we show it is by showing up. Because people want you to be with the church. God wants you to be with the church. And there's also a New Testament teaching that says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Say yes to the invitation of God. I'll close now by saying this. Fellowship is crucial. Fellowship is crucial. We have to make it a priority. It's commanded to us in the New Testament by example. It's implied. It's inferred. It's all over the New Testament that we need to have fellowship with fellow believers in the church. We must have it if we're going to stay in Christ. Because how many of you know that the world will chew you up and spit you out? Amen? Satan doesn't care. He doesn't care who you think you are. We have to know who we are. And that's anybody, anytime, any day. The attack upon the church is real, and we have to make it a priority to be in worship, to be in fellowship, to have meals together, do fun things together, share in one another's lives, pray for one another, talk to one another during the week. If you can, with other fellow believers, there's so many ways to do that out in public. We want people to want what we have, to show them what we have, and to function as family through the blessing of fellowship. The invitation is this: you're invited. You're invited to the table of fellowship that has been prepared by Jesus Christ. Blessings that come with it. you're invited to feast on His Word, to feast on the blessings of God. And you simply need to say yes, be a part of it, and enjoy the blessings that come with it, and welcome others to be blessed by what you have received and what you and I have. If you're here today and you need to make that confession, if you've heard this message today and you realize that you're not where you need to be with the Lord, now is the time to do that. Amen? Don't delay, because any of you procrastinators? I read an article one time that it's about 50%, really. It's split right down the middle. Now, I am really bad at that. And sometimes we do that with the invitation of God. We put it off. Oh, I'll do it sometime. I'll respond to it later. No, do it now. If you've heard this message and you've received this message, this is your opportunity to respond. If you've heard this message and you realize you're not where you're at, where you need to be with the Lord today, you respond to that in your heart. Maybe you've never made that confession of faith. Maybe you've been trying to be your own Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been trying to atone for all the sins and the mistakes of your past. The Bible says you simply cannot do that. Amen? On your own, you cannot do that. And so if you are trying to be that way and do that, receive Jesus today as your Lord and Savior in your heart and make that confession. If you need help with that, we're here to help you do that. We're here to pray for you today. Also, if you've heard this message and you realize that you've strayed away from the church and strayed away from fellowship with Christ and fellowship with His church, recommit to that today. Amen? Recommit to it. Don't let anything stop you, because it's a blessing to be with the family of God. People that can't, there's so many people that can't that wish they could be. A lot of people that are homebound, that can't be with the church, they cry. I mean, I've been in their homes. They cry. They literally cry over it. I cannot be with the church, and it breaks my heart. I just want out of this house. I want to be with the church. That's how bad they want to be with the church. But able-bodied people, no thanks. That's our culture. That's our world. So recommit today in your heart, and if you need prayers in any way, think about yourself and where you're at with the Lord. Let's prepare now to sing this song of invitation. We'll stand together and consider the invitation of the Lord today for your heart. Amen.